Alrighty, it's 11 minutes after 9. You've got it kindly tuned to KHUM on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday morning. And sorry I didn't have a chance to tee this up any longer, but joining me via telephone, we've got Denise Kaufman, who's on the road. She is a guitar player, harmonica player, and singer with the Ace of Cups. Good morning.
Hey, Cliff. By the way, I used to be the guitar player, but now I'm pretty much the bass player and harmonica player.
Aha. Uh-huh. I stand corrected. Yeah, Mary Gannon was the bass player, right? Originally?
Exactly. She still plays a little bit of bass with us live, but on the album, I did all the bass except for what Jack Cassidy did.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. So when you first released your single, "Feel Good," it just came in just a pack. I listen to everything new that comes in. I just want to see what's new out there. I'd never heard of the Ace of Cups. I was like, okay, what's this? Let's leave this a listen. And because oftentimes, of course you gravitate to the names you know, but I always listen to stuff that of groups I've not heard of. And I just played that one in queue. I went, wow, that's really good. And I played it on the air. And then I started doing a little bit of reading because you always get a little bit of information. And I was like, what? and my mind was blown into little bite-sized chunks. That you guys have been around since the summer of love in 1967. You know, part of that whole music explosion. You were huge back then, and just never got signed because you were an all-female band and just kind of disappeared after about 4 years. And this is now your first record, your first recorded album, and it sounds as fresh as ever.
Well, I was going to say it's our first studio album.
Right.
There was a record released in about 2004 made up of like rehearsal tapes or some random live gigs that were recorded, things like that.
Right.
But this is the first time we actually got to go into a studio and work and choose the songs we wanted to record. So that
right.
was huge for us.
And of course, it all sounds great. You're all on mic and it's all perfect. And it's just, it sounds so amazing. And I just, I listened to that. And I was just like, wow! And I had to find more of it, which I did, and tracked down, got the rest of the record, and I was just like, it brought me to tears how beautiful it was, and this kind of the injustice of the years that went by where you were kind of like in obscurity. And I was looking at that quote from Jimi Hendrix where he talks about you guys being like the real treasure of the music community in the San Francisco Bay Area. Yeah, that was.
He was so wonderful to us. Yeah.
And that's just so great. So, I assume the reason you guys never got signed originally is that you were an all-female band?
You know, it's hard to know because, the real people to ask would be the record labels who took a pass on us. So we're just assuming as well.
Yeah.
we didn't have one lead singer, because we all sang.
Right.
And the focus kind of moved around, and we were like kind of real democratic in that way, and our musical kind of styles or genres were eclectic, as you can tell from the album that we have. You can tell it goes from Irish pipes to R&B to, to psychedelic rock, because that's all part of who we are. So I don't know what it was really.
I think
that we're in a way, now looking back from now, fortunate that we didn't get a record deal then, because we probably wouldn't have one now, and we wouldn't get doing what we're doing now. So.
And you can really appreciate it now too, and it's
exactly.
and it's so obvious, that KQED, the public station in the San Francisco area, did a terrific little documentary on you guys, and you can see filming of the recording session, and the joy on your faces while you're recording is just something to behold. It is just wonderful. You guys have never lost the joy in the music.
Oh yay. That's great. That's what we want.
Yeah, it is really something else. Now, this first record, you were telling me off air also that there's more to come. This first record is 26 songs, and you've got lots more because You guys wrote a lot of songs back in the day, right?
Exactly. And some of them are newer, and some of them are from back in, you know, a few of the songs, like The Well is new,
mm-hmm.
and the song that Buffy St. Marie sings on with us is Pepper in the Pot. That's a newer song.
Wow.
So some of them are new. Most of them are older, but, oh, Indian Summer was sort of in the middle.
Uh-huh.
That was written in the image. Yeah. So the next year, we have also some featured guests on it. We have Jackson Brown, and we have Sheila E. and the whole Escobedo family playing with
wonderful.
Us.
Oh, wonderful. That's
and
great.
And Makiti Kumalo, the bass player with Paul Simon, and the original bass player with Ladysmith, Black Mambazo. Makiti is playing on one track with us. And yeah, so
that's fantastic.
We're having a good time.
So,
yeah.
Just a word of warning, Denise is driving right now and is heading up through the grapevine, and the cell service in there can be spotty at times. So you notice we dropped her just a moment. If we ever actually completely drop, I'll call back. But
okay, but
right now everything is fine. You're sounding great. So that is just exciting. You've got are people excited to be playing with you guys?
Well, we've just played New York last week, and we had, before, we played the Mercury Lounge,
mm-hmm.
And we had a kind of discussion, and we invited some wonderful people to be kind of on the sort of a panel talking about women and music in the 60s. One of the people in our panel was Lenny Kaye,
mm-hmm.
who is both a wonderful writer, and he also is plays guitar with Patti Smith, and
right.
he came and sat in with us on one song at the Mercury Lounge, and that was really fun.
Fantastic.
We've played some shows earlier the end of last year around our album release with Barry Melton guys, and who we love, and we're going to be playing with Moon Alice on 420 at Slim's in San Francisco.
Nice.
And so we're doing an event with in May for the Neal Cassady Archives in Santa Cruz with John Leopold, who's a supervisor from Santa Cruz, is kind of putting this event together to raise funds to preserve all Neal's archives. So,
nice. And you are going to be coming our way in June for the Kate Wolfe Memorial Music Festival at Black Oak Ranch.
Of course. We are so excited about that.
Yeah,
because we're longtime friends of Wavy Gravy, and Camp Winter Rainbow is, very dear to our hearts, and anything to do that's close to Wavy and Camp we love particularly well. So, yeah, we're really thrilled to be invited to Kate Wolfe.
Yeah, it is fantastic. It's a wonderful music festival. It's right up our alley, it's a really wonderful venue, and it's just packed with so many artists and stages, and it's really just a wonderful thing. It's kind of an extension, if you will, of the Summer of Love. If the Summer of Love was still around, that's where it is.
Right. Yeah.
It's still around. So back then, when you guys were first hitting the scene there in 1967, Summer of Love is something I remember very well. It's near and dear to me. But at that time, I was only like 10. So, but it was still, being 10 years old, you're still definitely cognizant of all the stuff that was going on. It was a very, very exciting time to be around. There was such an explosion of everything, just of art and music and ideas. And it was,
exactly.
It was just an extraordinary time to be alive. And being there in San Francisco, that was right at the epicenter of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was pretty exciting.
I was on the bus before the Ace of Cups. I was on the bus with Kesey. I was my all other name is Mary Microgram.
Right.
So we did the Trips Festival, and then we did all the acid tests. And after Kesey got busted and went to Mexico, I came back to San Francisco and was in a band with the guys that later became Moby Grape, and then found the women of the Ace of Cups. So, you know, I had sort of come off my full-on psychedelic adventures and just wanted to be playing music. So, and we lived right in the middle of the hate when we got together. And, you know, just people being fed in Golden Gate Park. We lived right across from the Panhandle. So just, you know, being with the diggers when they were feeding people and just the way people were in the park all the time playing music or making things or, you know, embroidering or, you know, it was just such an explosion of creative expression, whatever it looked like, and, you know, go to the thrift store and buy something and then embroider it and cut it in different ways and sew some patches on it and create your own fashion, you know?
Absolutely. And speaking of that and the free speech movement in Berkeley and whatnot, you got arrested doing that, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know, I had just started Berkeley in that fall, which was the fall of 64.
Uh-huh.
So I was 17 and came into Berkeley because I was very political. So I came there for the very thing that got abridged in the free speech movement. I came there to go gather every brochure from every table in Sproul Hall Plaza because I wanted to read about every political perspective and I wanted to talk to all those people. So when the police came and, you know, took all the tables away and told the organizations that they couldn't operate on campus anymore, I was deeply offended. And so I was kind of in the free speech movement from the very first day. And then we got arrested, you know, we sat down around Jack Weinberg's car in the middle of Sproul Hall Plaza a few days before I turned 18. And if we'd gotten, you know, if we'd started to get arrested then, my kind of mentors, who were the Hallinans, I don't know if you know who they were, the Hallinan family,
mm-hmm.
but Ringo and Dynamite, their dad was Vincent, who had been, who was a lawyer in San Francisco, and in his law firm were all the you know, subsequent attorneys for the rock music scene, which was like Brian Rohan. And but the Hallinan said to me, you know, don't get arrested because you're going to go to juvie and you don't want to do that. You have to wait till you're 18 to get arrested. So, you know, a month later, I was 18, and that's when the Sproul Hall incident happened.
And you got arrested properly.
Yeah. I got arrested then, yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, with regard to the Ace of Cups, I think you were the last member to join the group. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they had all met and then started playing. And I met Mary Ellen on New Year's Eve at Blue Cheer's house on the last day of 1966. And she's the one who invited me over to meet the other women.
And you all hit it off well, obviously.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some great, great footage of you guys, of you guys like jamming barefoot on the stage there in the sunshine. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to see that.
Yeah.
It was
a
lot of fun.
That's on Mount Tamalpais.
What's that?
That footage. That is on Mount Tamalpais in above Mill Valley.
Yeah. Know it well.
County.
Know it well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the there were two festivals that happened around that time on Mount Tam, and then there were never any for the next almost 50 years until more recently when there's Sound Summit up there in that amphitheater. So we're hoping to maybe get to play Sound Summit this year and return to the original scene of our crimes, you know?
That's great. That is great. Now, it's really amazing. All these years later, you know, four of the original five members are together and jamming and making music. That is just remarkable. You guys all remain friends?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's great.
You know, we don't all live, we all live in different places.
Mm-hmm.
So over the course of those, you know, 48 years, whatever it was, we didn't all get together too many times, although sometimes we did, all of us. And then sometimes three of us would get together, or, you know, and then Mary Gannon, the original bass player, and I both moved to Kauai, and she and I were in different bands together through the years, and we always played together. So it was a little different with Mary Ellen, who lives up in Weaverville, but she lived in Arcata for a long time.
Wow, that's cool.
And, you know,
Right up our way.
Northern, exactly.
That's where we are.
yes, exactly. So, you might want to have a talk with Mary Ellen sometime, too.
Fantastic.
But she, you know, so it was a little harder for us to get together. for a while, when she first left the Ace of Cups, she was living up in a little commune in the Trinity area. And,
wow.
You know, she had, like, fully, you know, out in the woods and off the grid. No, you know, no phone. It was like, yeah.
Well, a lot of Humboldt County is still like that.
yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Maybe that's why you guys resonate so well with this community. It's really fantastic. I got to ask, so how did this deal come together? I mean, so many years later, for you guys to get signed to a record deal and go in the studio and record, it's amazing. How did this come together? Explain that.
Well, how it happened was, in about 2003, there's a fellow named Alec Palau who lives in El Cerrito in the Bay Area, but he's British. And he works, among other things, he's an independent, you know, guy. But he works partly with Ace Records out of England. And he approached us and said, you know, do you have any archival tapes? We'd love to put out something on the Ace of Cups.
Mm-hmm.
So he went through all of our, you know, these tapes of live gigs and whatever we had that had been carried around in boxes for 30 years. And he... out of that, produced that first live album called It's Bad for You, But Buy It.
Right.
And it wasn't necessarily the songs we would have chosen if someone said, okay, you can put, you know, 16 songs on a record. We didn't have recordings of some of them, or we only had half recordings of some, or we had really bad recordings of something. So it was really the best of what we had was what was on that record. But when that got out, people who had maybe heard our name or maybe never heard our name, you know, who were following the music of the 60s, people started to hear about us or listen to us. And one of the people who heard about us was George Bear Wallace, who lives in New York and has a record label there called High Moon Records. And he's passionate about the music of that era. And about 9 years ago, he reached out and contacted me and said, you know, you have any more archival material? I have a label and I would love to release more Ace of Cups. And I said, I really don't have much more. But he came out to LA and we met. And then subsequent to that, we got invited to play for Wavy Gravy's 75th birthday at the Craneway Pavilion.
Nice.
It was a benefit for Seva. And so we said yes. And George helped us rent a house and a rehearsal space for, you know, about 12 days before that show, and we played for that show, opened that show. And when George heard us play live, I think he just got struck by something. And out of that, he started helping the three of us who lived close together, started helping us get together to rehearse and write. And we were just thinking, you know, he was just trying to help us share our own music with each other, you know, and play together. But what evolved from that, particularly as we started writing, he finally just said, you guys, you need to record this music. You never got the chance. You never got that chance. I know. And, you know, his label doesn't do that. You know, they're a reissue label.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he made that leap and just, you know, and some of the other bands that are on his label were like, well, we want to go in the studio too. And, you know, and he's, no, but you got to in the old days.
They
never did. This is their time, you know. He's been hugely generous, and it's all, you know, we owe everything to him and to Alec Palau, who both wrote the liner notes on this new album and is the one who you know, worked on our original tapes so we could get heard by George and everyone else to begin with. So we've been really blessed in, I mean, who hears of women in their 70s getting to make their first album?
It's fantastic. It really
great,
is.
You know?
It's absolutely wonderful. It really is just such a great story. I just love that. That is so fantastic.
And you know, people of all ages and genders and just everybody, you know, will come up to us or write to us on our website and just say, I'm so inspired. It makes me want to do the things that I've kind of put on the back burner. You know, that's worth everything right there.
Well, up here in Humboldt County, we're kind of like behind the Redwood Curtain. It's gone over very well here. How about the rest of the world? How well is it? How is it being received?
You know, we've been invited to play a lot of places.
Great.
And so I think that's a good thing. You know, we were like, you know, we were just a couple of weeks ago, we were on like the Today Show of Australia reached out
nice.
To us, and they want us to come to Australia, but they did this feature on us that went over all over Australia, and we did CBS This Morning, and when we were in New York, we just did a live. We went to the recording studio and did an interview and played. It's not yet aired, but on World Cafe for NPR. And, you know, so we've done stuff for Sirius. So there's a lot of interest. I think it's the combination of the music and our story.
Yeah, it's exciting. And as I said, you know, I got first introduced to it by that one single that got released without any background as to who you were. And, you know, I'm hearing this and I'm going, wow, what a wonderful, fresh sound. It's kind of a throwback from when I was a kid. And you know, it does not sound like, you know, has been musicians. It sounds like really hungry, fresh musicians who are just jamming. And that you've still got it. It's still just as hungry and fresh and vibrant as it was back then.
Thank you.
It's really just,
you know, we have an amazing producer, you know, Dan Shea.
Mm-hmm.
And he is younger than we are, but he grew up in Mill Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And Evelyn Cipollina, who is John Cipollina's mother, was a classical pianist and piano teacher. Evelyn kind of mentored Dan when he was a little boy. He used to go to Quicksilver shows with John Cipollina's mom. So, and then he went on to, you know, be a musical director and produce a bunch of people in Los Angeles and really around the world, like, you know, famous people. But he sort of has his roots in the music of the Bay Area. And right when we first met him and started, you know, decided to work with him, we decided we wanted to make a record that was both, that young listeners and listeners listening today could identify with, mm-hmm. that it wasn't just a nostalgia album.
Right.
But that it was true to our roots and, you know, and he listened to everything we ever recorded copiously.
Wow.
So he really immersed himself in our music before we started working together. So, you know, we have a lot, like Dan Shea is the, you know, the fifth member of this project. We're really grateful.
Well, the timing is great because that sound, there's kind of a craving for that sound again. It is kind of making a resurgence. So the timing really couldn't be better. And speaking of appealing to a young crowd as well, I gotta, before we wrap this up, I gotta tell you this story. Along with doing radio, I also teach at Humboldt State University, and I teach radio classes there. And one of my students came up to me the other day, unsolicited, came up to me the other day and said, "Hey, Cliff, I gotta turn you on to this group I just found. They're amazing. They're called the Ace of Cups." And I went,
oh.
I was like, "I know all about them." You know, and we both were like going back and forth. And he goes, "I'm so excited you discovered that. That is so amazing." Yeah, he was so excited about it. You know, this is a young guy in his early 20s. You know, just really turned on by this. And he discovered it on his own. So there you go.
Yay.
It is. It's,
yeah.
You're definitely appealing to a very wide demographic. That is for sure. Well, we are pretty much out of time. I've played a few songs this morning. We played Feel Good and Fantasy 1 and 4 and Circles and The Well and Simplicity. Of all the ones that I on this record that I haven't played, what would be a good one for us to close this out with?
Oh, gosh.
Putting you on the spot.
Gosh, that's really hard. Yeah, it's like saying which of your children, right? How much time do you have?
I can play a song, you know, whatever you want.
You know, well, if you don't have much time, I would say maybe music.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a lot of time, you know, how about the medley, which takes you on a total psychedelic journey?
Wow.
It includes Terry Haggerty on, you know, on a guitar solo with our amazing drummer, Diane, playing some great drum like a little kind of drum feature in there. And then it's also got David Freiberg from Quicksilver singing some harmonies with us. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty psychic. And it's got some sitar from Norman Mail from the Mail from the Chocolate Camel. So we got a few friends on it with us.
Nice.
It's a beautiful track. So.
I think it would go well behind
the redwood curtain.
There you go. Yeah, it's only 9 minutes and 26 seconds. That's not too bad. That's not too bad. I already played like a 16-minute song today already, so that'll work.
the last two songs in the medley are written by Mary Ellen, who lives up in Weaverville, so it's kind of a homegirl, you know, particularly homegirl lyric there.
Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Okay.
Well, we will do that. And Denise, I want to thank you so much for taking the time during your drive to talk with us. I've been excited to talk to you guys, and I was just very happy this got pulled together like right now. Didn't have a lot of time to tee it up with the audience,
right?
but we got it. Now we recorded it, and we're going to get this posted up on our website as well. And
thank you, Cliff.
And I will play that medley, which is track 24 on this new record of yours. So I'll play that. I'm going to take a break, and then we will play it on the other side of that. All right. So, Denise, drive safely. Have a safe and uneventful ride back to Venice. And we'll have to talk again sometime.
See you at Kate Wolf.
Yeah, absolutely. Kate Wolf, that's just around the corner. All righty.
Wonderful.
All right. Take care and drive safely.
Yeah. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye. There you go. That is Denise Kaufman of Ace of Cups. I know we went a little bit long, but what a treat this has been, for sure.